Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you on this Tuesday morning, May 21st of 2019, as we head into the middle of another sporting week. Plenty of news around yesterday as well, not only here but overseas as we build up to the Cricket World Cup. We'll start with footy news, though. And Chriso yesterday, Michael Christian, the MRO, had his say on Dale Thomas, who's been referred straight to the tribunal for his umpire abuse.
We'll wait for tomorrow night, but certainly felt in discussions with Steve Hocking that it was a serious enough breach that it should be sent and heard by the tribunal.
Very interesting stuff. We'll update you more on that throughout the morning. Meanwhile, Travis Varker, he also alluded that he might go to the tribunal to fight his charge, suspended for 1 week.
If you're going to go for the ball, then what can you do, really? It's a split-second decision.
Indigenous round this weekend, and Gillon McLachlan at the launch yesterday said we still have a long way to go.
Clearly, you know, it's imperfect in the sense that there continues to be issues, but we keep tackling them. We don't shy away from it. We call them out to the extent we can, and hopefully we continue to have conversations, as Michael says, and improve as an industry.
Big news yesterday in the soccer world with Kevin Muscat announcing the game tomorrow night for the Melbourne Victory will be his last.
I've decided to step away from the football club after discussions and great support from everybody involved at the football club. And Wednesday night will be my last game.
And another person hanging up the boots, Cooper Cronk, says this season will be his last.
One hell of a ride, one that I never thought was possible growing up as a young kid 20 minutes south of Brisbane. So, I've got a lot of people to thank. The Roosters, Melbourne Storm, and obviously my family.
We'll hear a little bit more from Cooper. Plenty of tributes flowing in for him and also Kevin Muscat yesterday. Lots to get through on a busy edition of The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Now the boys, Half, Whitey and Haysto are up at Swan Hill this morning. Nice and frosty up there on a Tuesday morning, but they will be out at Swan Hill Racing Club. Looking forward to hearing from them. And we'll have plenty of reflections and a couple of local trainers on as well as the Swan Hill Carnival heads towards our calendar. Ken Keyes will also join us for the early mail. We'll try and get you a winner before 7. Max Gorn in the Inner Sanctum from Melbourne. He was involved in that very tight loss on the week, or on Friday night, rather. Scott Gallen from the Herald Sun with all the latest footy news. I'm sure we'll discuss all the MRO findings from yesterday. Brett Deledio will join us for Around the Grounds just before 8 o'clock this morning. Then we will chat to Kevin Muscat himself ahead of his final game in charge of Melbourne Victory tomorrow night. Nathan Hobson, local trainer up there in Swan Hill, to join us to finish the show. We'll get a good insight into what it's like training in the region throughout the morning. Let's start the Breakfast Bite, though, with the footy news and a couple of cases yesterday that came back as a little bit of surprise. As you heard off the top, Dale Thomas referred straight to the tribunal. We heard Travis Varker, who's been given a week. He may head to the tribunal. One man who doesn't have a case to answer was Shane Mumford after his hit on Mark Murphy. This was the MRO, Michael Christian, explaining why.
Mumford coming in here, the interesting thing, he was obviously looking to put pressure on Murphy. Mm. Josh Kelly comes from the opposite direction and in effect jamming Mark Murphy between the two. Right. So the question was the actions of Mumford careless? And after much deliberation, it was decided that his actions weren't unreasonable in the circumstances. Okay. You're allowed to apply pressure. Contact was with his upper right thigh. So, as I said, not unreasonable in the circumstances.
It's a hefty upper right thigh, Shane Mumford's, to collide with. Mark Murphy with the night in hospital up in Sydney. He did speak at the airport yesterday, the former Carlton captain.
Yeah, a little bit sore today, but actually not too bad. But, just got a sore lower rib cage, so a couple of fractured ribs. I'm sort of hoping these days are done where we put in really poor performances. So, yeah, we'll have to have those tough conversations again within a playing group and as coaches are all in it together. So, get there tomorrow and work our way out of it.
Yeah, the blowtorch was on down at the Blues yesterday. Chris Judd on Footy Classified on Channel 9 last night had to answer a few questions about Carlton's form and Brendan Bolton.
Brendan Bolton's not getting sacked, so I mean, I think those comments were based around if he goes mid-season. But there's pressure on all of us. I'm the football director, rightly or wrongly, the rest of the club's actually going pretty well. We've got to provide a really high level of accountability to our coach, but we've also got to be really supportive as well. Right now, being the coach of Carlton Football Club is the loneliest place in the world to be, and we're cognizant of that fact. But he doesn't have carte blanche support willy-nilly. He's getting really clear feedback. He knows what his expectations are, yep. And we need to do better. Disappointed in where the club currently sits at 1-8, and our performance on the weekend was clearly unacceptable. Right now, I fully expect him to be there for the end of the season, and we're planning like he's the long-term coach of this football club. I can't guarantee anything. If we lose 100 points for the next 10 weeks, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. But right now, the media narrative is this is an issue with Brendan Bolton and the football club. That's not how the club's looking at it internally. This is a football department issue that we need to sort out.
If he did lose by 100 points over the next 10 weeks, I reckon he might be in a bit of strife. The Blues hoping for an improved performance on Sunday against the Saints. We'll get to them in just a second. Before we do, let's head to Patrick Dangerfield. Plenty of chat about his injury, not just from him, from a couple of others in the media. First of all, how is that ankle?
It's something, yeah. I think I said on Fox after the game that I did about 3 weeks ago, so it's just one of those ones that keep rolling and just recurs.
Is it time for a week off?
Not if it's not needed, but at the same time, we're in a really strong position, and I think we've shown this year we haven't really taken risks where we don't need to. But it's only Monday, game is Saturday. I've had a few days to recover. When it's just that reoccurring injury, then you sort of know what it is, rather than, yeah. Geez, I don't know what this is because I haven't experienced it before, but yeah, it's just one of those ones. It's been one of those niggling things.
Bit of commentary surrounding Patrick Dangerfield and his injuries. That was from Kane Corns. He responded yesterday.
Kane can say what he likes, he does. I think you get into a position, though, where you keep trotting down the same line and people start to dismiss your commentary. So he's in that probably unfortunate position where now when he speaks, people don't really listen. Oh, look, there's some people in the industry that you pay attention to their commentary, and there's some that you don't, and he's in the latter.
And I did mention the Saints before. Alan Richardson was speaking last night on Fox Footy on AFL 360. He gave us an update on Dan Hannery. Looks like he's not too far away.
It's really looking like it's within 2 or 3 weeks. So depending on how, now he'll really get going with the group, really, just full on, flat out, all the match sim. So that's really exciting.
How's he mentally? It's challenging.
It was tough for him. Yep, there's no doubt about that. You come to a footy club, the footy club makes a pretty big commitment to get him, and then he becomes part of the leadership group, and there's another layer that, you know, that wasn't intended, but there's another layer that gets put on top, and so he just wants to get out there and play. He's that sort of bloke. He wants to get out there and train, let alone play, and he hasn't been able to do that.
St Kilda coach Alan Richardson speaking on Fox Footy last night. Let's head to the soccer world, where, as you heard off the top, Kevin Muscat is pulling the pin at the end of tomorrow night's game. He will be a guest on The Breakfast Club after 8 o'clock this morning. This is a snapshot of what he had to say at what was a very emotional press conference from the Victory coach.
And after 14 years of being at the football club, I certainly look forward to that game on Wednesday, like any of the previous games. Although this, clearly you can see, is an emotional time, I'd like to look upon it as a time of celebration. Celebrating what we've built together. Celebrating what we've achieved together. Celebrating 14 strong years together. And also the success that we've earned together. I think I want the opportunity to thank some people, so please excuse me, because I think it's important after such a long period, 14 years, that I do acknowledge some people. To all the players that I've played with at the football club, to the players and the people that I've coached, and to all the staff that I've worked with, you know, thank you wholeheartedly, you know, from my time as a manager at the club, you know, Trimmers and Anth. You two guys have been with me the whole journey. Everybody in the office, as you can imagine, there's been a lot of comings and goings over 14 years. So thank you for all your support in dealing with me and having to put up with me over over a long period of time. To our members and fans, you know, where do you start? Your unbelievable passion and support, not only for me, but for our great football club, has been unprecedented.
Kevin Muscat letting us in there, very emotional at his press conference yesterday. Tomorrow night will be his last game. As I mentioned, he will be a guest on The Breakfast Club after 8 this morning. Let's head to the NRL world where we had another retirement. This time it was Cooper Cronk, who is pulling the pin at the end of this season. So still 6 months of footy for him to play. We'll have a listen to what he had to say about the other big two that make up the big three at the Melbourne Storm. Cronk, Smith and Slater, who had been stalwarts of the Melbourne franchise for so many years.
To Billy and Cameron, I don't think thanks cuts it, to be honest. Those two guys will go down in history as the two best players in their positions for as long as the game of rugby league is around. So that probably makes me the best third wheel the game's ever seen too, because I just jumped on the back of whatever they were doing. From the first day I met them in Brisbane Norths to our last game on Grand Final Day in 2017, my job was pretty easy. A future immortal just passed the ball to me and I passed the ball to another future immortal, so things were pretty cruisy, and I really appreciate the things that they did for me on the field. But it's also the moments off the field that aren't seen by the cameras. It's the weddings, the births, the parties, the good times, and I'll be forever grateful for what those two guys did for me, both on the field and off the field, because in 2001 when we met at Brisbane North, who would have thought we'd have that journey together? So I'm really pleased and humbled by the fact that my name gets spoken about in the same breath as those two.
Cooper Cronk. Let's head to Craig Bellamy now. He had a press conference, probably wasn't expecting to have one, but it was called at the last minute just to pay tribute to someone who's made such a significant contribution to the Melbourne Storm.
He's one of the most professional people I've ever worked with, obviously in his footy career, but also, you know, what he does off the field. He's always very well planned, as I said, you know, really disciplined and very professional with whatever he does. You know, it's when he makes a decision to do something, he's, you know, it's 100%. But probably out of all the footy players I've probably worked with, he probably thinks about it more than most, and, you know, to make sure he makes that right decision. And so, you know, I imagine he's been thinking a little bit about, you know, his retirement, and, you know, he would have obviously come to the right decision. But having said that, it's a pretty sad day, to be quite honest, you know, for me personally. As I said, you know, it's worked with Cooper for a long time, and, you know, we've still got a, you know, close relationship, and you know, I'll always consider it a real honour, you know, to be a small part of, you know, what's been a wonderful career.
And let's finish with Cooper Cronk. He was on NRL 360 last night on Fox Sports, and he did open up on that stoush with Cam Smith. Have a listen.
Have you mended the bridge with Cameron?
Thought you were going to take it easy on me today, PK. No, look, there's conversations that happen, but yeah, our relationship is fine. I can only speak from my point of view. Sometimes when you're in rugby league, you hear stories about other stories, and some of them aren't true. But yeah, look, if we ever caught up, some are and some aren't. But if we ever caught up, there'd be no hostility between us.
You don't call each other now.
This fed the conspiracy theories. I remember seeing this. There you go.
Well,
there's certainly bad blood there at some point. Whether it's there now, there was certainly bad blood at some point.
Yeah, there may have been, but not from my end of the bargain. Because at the end of the day, you know, that kick pressure could have been anyone. I've got a broken shoulder in that situation, and I knew in that game that they were coming for me. And
you had your hand on his throat.
Yeah, but it would have been Cameron Munster would have done exactly the same thing.
Fair call.
Cooper Cronk last night. Bit of fun there with Cameron Smith last year. We'll hear more, obviously, from Cooper throughout the rest of the season. Hopefully grab him on the Breakfast Club for a reflection on what has been a sensational career. Let's head to the NBA now, where Kawhi Leonard was able to get the job done for Toronto. This match yesterday going to double overtime, 118 to 112, the final score as they beat the Bucks.
Watch this footer. Here comes Leonard for a kiss back. Leonard all the way in. Puts it down.
So that series now 2-1, Milwaukee leading it. More NBA action to come a little later on this morning, 11 a.m., as the Warriors have a chance to put their name into the NBA Finals. They currently lead their series over the Portland Trail Blazers 3-0. So Andrew Bogut with a chance to advance. Let's head to the cricket world now. And Adam Zampa last night spoke about the importance of spin in this World Cup, something the Aussies were focusing on during their entire training session.
Today was very spin focused. Yesterday saw there's a bit of new ball stuff, death stuff with the bowlers. So you know, we've made note that it's going to be really crucial through the middle overs this World Cup, taking wickets as spinners, and also how we're going to play spin as well. So, yeah, that was focused on today.
What are those? Yeah, tell us about those discussions you've been having about spin.
So over the last 3 or 4 years, you know, you've seen probably the game change a bit, and a lot of the spinners have come into the game a lot more. And I think that was something that we struggled with, was playing against spin, you know, probably 18 months ago, 12 months ago. Something that we rectified really well in India and in Pakistan and in Dubai against Pakistan. And you saw out there today too, the results are speaking for themselves. The boys are getting a lot better at it.
And as you heard yesterday on the Breakfast Club, Brooks Koepka wobbled a little bit during that final round with 4 bogeys in a row on the back nine, but he did steady enough in the last couple of holes to close out his victory, finishing at 8 under card for the tournament, 4 over in that final round. Dustin Johnson, 2 shots back at 6 under. They absolutely smashed the rest of the field. Next best, Jordan Spieth on 2 under. Let's have a listen to Brooks Koepka after the win. He opened up a little more than usual.
It's been so much fun these last, 2 years? It's pretty close to 2 years. It's incredible. I don't think I even thought I was going to do it that fast. I don't think anybody did. And to be standing here today with 4 majors is mind-blowing. Today was definitely the most satisfying out of all of them for how stressful that round was, how stressful DJ made that. That was probably definitely, I know for a fact, that was the most excited I've ever been in a long, ever in my life right there on 18.
Brooks, were you surprised, disappointed that the New York golf fans seemed to turn against you there? I mean, you're a baseball guy. Did you feel like you're playing for the Red Sox or something?
It's New York. What do you expect when you're half choking it away? I think playing with a lead is a little bit tougher. It's easier in the sense of, you know, that you can afford mistakes and you just got to stay mentally sharp. I think you have to be sharper mentally when you've got such a big lead that you still have to set goals. You still have to, okay, I still need to go out and go play well. And I felt like I did a good job of that the first 10 holes. I don't know if I just mentally slipped for a couple holes or what. But I think playing with a lead is, it's a different feeling.
Brooks Koepka speaking yesterday after his win in the US PGA. Now won 6 times in the US, 4 have been majors, an incredible record that he is amassing before the age of 30. Let's head back to the footy news to finish the breakfast bite on your Tuesday morning. Don't forget the boys are live from Swan Hill this morning. Half Whitey and Haste will be joining you after the 6 o'clock news. Let's, though, before then, hear from John Longmire, who was fairly cautious about a possible return for Buddy Franklin this week.
He loves to get out there and compete anyway, let alone it's a big occasion this week. So, you know, he'd love to play. There's no question about that. But we've got to make sure he goes through the right steps and gets to the point where he's really confident in his body.
Fairly tough 3 weeks for the Swans coming up. They've got Collingwood, Geelong and then West Coast. Friday night footy this week. They are hosting Collingwood at the SCG. Darcy Moore, will he be there? He explained what he has to do yesterday.
No, I hurt my ankle sort of about 6 weeks ago now, and just it's
been a bit sore, so just use the chance to recover. And we obviously have to train fully Wednesday to get through to the game, so yeah, hopefully that's the case.
Let's finish with the Pies as well. Bit of fun yesterday as Jaden Stevenson reflected on that massive barrel from 55 out that sailed well into the cheer squad.
Before and after training, I tend to try and get onto a few torps. I've always done it since a junior, so I don't know what went through my head, but it came off luckily. I think it's pretty outcome-based, so if I'd have missed it, then you're going to cop it probably. I think it'll be one and only for the year, so I'll have to live off it for the rest of the year.
That is a shame, because the fans absolutely loved it, and anyone watching at home or at the MCG, even if you didn't support Collingwood, it was great to see that barrel go through. Lots to get through on The Breakfast Club. Make sure you stick around after 6 o'clock, live from Swan Hill this morning. Just check the temperature. Chilly, 7 degrees there at the moment. Half Whitey and John Hastings to join you. We'll have a couple of local trainers there. Ostie Coffey to join us, Nathan Hobson. Dino will also join us this morning, along with Aaron Garvey, the Swan Hill CEO. We'll have the early mail for you before 7 o'clock as we try and get your winner. Max Gorn in the Inner Sanctum from Melbourne. Scotty Gullen from the Herald Sun will go around the grounds with Brett DeLidio, who had a fantastic return for the Giants on the weekend. And Kevin Muscat, the man who announced tomorrow night will be his last game in charge of the Melbourne Victory. He will be our feature guest after 8 o'clock this morning. It's a very busy Tuesday. Make sure you stick around after the news.